precious Jesus.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
God, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Bless the Lord. Praise. Bless the Lord. Praise. Bless the Lord. Praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He's my King. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad to be here this morning. It feels good here, doesn't it? That good Holy Ghost. I'm glad when the Lord said, come and follow me, that he didn't tell us to figure out what to do. He just said, follow me. I'm glad we have a Lord today that loves us. I'm glad today that we have a Father above that's he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. I'm glad today that we have a Lord that suffered in all points just as we suffer. Only he went through it. He never did succumb to those temptations. God delivered him. Therefore, the Bible says we have a faithful high priest. So I'm thankful today that God can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. I'm glad when God sent Jesus down. I'm glad he didn't come down with one that wasn't. The Bible says that he was tempted in every point as we were, yet without sin. And I'm glad that we have the truth on that. I'm glad that we know that when he came down here, he came all the way down, that he didn't take upon himself the nature of angels. A lot of people believe that. They believe he came down just like an angel. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says, but he was made after the seed of Abraham. The things that you and I, that we go through, the things that we suffer, he suffered those things too, that he might be a faithful high priest. So when we go to prayer, we can call upon him, and we can realize that he knows where we're at. He knows, you know, he knows what it's like to be, to not be able to pay your taxes. One time Peter came up to him and said, Lord, he said, what are we going to do? Did you ever have money problems? Has anybody here ever not had money problems? I don't see a single hand. Everybody here has had money problems. One time Peter came up to him and said, Lord, what are we going to do? The IRS, I got a bill from the IRS and we owe money. Of course, this was through Caesar. And the Lord didn't worry. You know, that's one thing about God. When we know what God wants us to do, when we know what God's will is for our life, that's faith. And when we put works, when we put legs to that faith, when we do those things that God wants us to do, then the Bible says that God counts us faithful. That's what faith is, doing what God wants you to do. But there's another part of it, and that is just trusting him. But you know, the Lord will take us through circumstances. Just like Jesus, he knew that his Father was big enough. He knew his Father was able to meet all of the needs that he had according to his riches and glory. So when Peter came to him, he said, Lord, what are we going to do? I owe my taxes. And Jesus said, don't worry, Peter. He said, I owe my taxes too. He said, but why don't you do this? And he was teaching those men a valuable lesson. Jesus was pointing them in the right direction, and they were going to have to learn to trust God with all their heart. With all, you know, the funny thing is, in the book of Psalms, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. It doesn't say, trust in the Lord with all your brain. There's times where I just have to shut my brain down because things, my old man, my carnal nature, starts to think, well, you know, you look at this situation, it looks bad. It looks bad, Brother Tally. It's just sometimes the natural seeing, the natural eye, looking at a situation, if we get our eyes off God and if we put our eyes on a situation, it looks bad. But Jesus, the whole time, he was showing those men that you can trust God. He can depend on and he can be counted on. He's faithful and he's going to take us to the end. In fact, Paul said this. He said, I'm persuaded. You know, we're finally to get to the place where we are persuaded, not just hope so, not just maybe so, but beyond a shadow of doubt in our life, we are persuaded that he that hath begun a good work in us is also able to accomplish it. And I believe that today. I believe the one that called us into the great body of Christ. I believe the one who gave us this vision of perfection. I believe he's a big enough God that he's going to accomplish that in our life. I don't think there's anything too hard for God today. I don't think there's any problem. I don't think there's anything in our life that he can't overcome. In fact, one time somebody came up to Jesus and he said, Lord, he said, since I was born, I've always done everything right. He said, what more do I need to do? Jesus said, go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. And that young man went away sad because he had great revenue. And Jesus turned to his apostles. The Lord has burnt this into my mind here just lately. He said, they ask, he says, it's harder for a rich man to enter into heaven than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And it amazed those apostles so greatly because that's quite a metaphor. It's impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. You can't do it. I've heard some men try to say that, oh, that's just, you know, showing that it's difficult, but it's impossible. You know, the things that God has asked us to do, it's impossible. And those men, they looked at Jesus and they said, well, then who can be saved? You know, who can be saved? Have you ever felt that in your life? Who can be saved? When you start to, when you come into the great body of Christ and you start to hear all these wonderful truths about perfection, about rising up above the carnal nature, about overcoming the flesh, oh, that sounds so good. That sounds so good. But when you start to put it into practice, you go, I can't do this. You know, when I first came into the body, I heard these wonderful truths, and I tried to do them, and I just wore myself out, and I got discouraged. And I finally got to the point, and I said, nobody can do this. And when I first came in, I thought, just a few small little minor corrections in my life. Because I didn't run around, I didn't drink, I didn't smoke, I paid my taxes. I did a lot of those things. I obeyed the speed limit. I did all those things. But then the Lord started shedding light down on my life, and I thought, God, this thing that you are shining a light on in my life, it's too big. Have you ever seen something in your life that you just thought it's too big? It's too hard. Even God can't overcome that. Well, they asked Jesus, they said, who then can be saved? And I love this. Jesus said, with man, it's impossible. You know, we can't fulfill our vision today of perfection of a restored church. But Jesus said, with God, all things are possible. I'm glad he said that. I'm glad he just didn't leave off that last sentence. So I have confidence in God today that he knows where we're at. And God, he knows how to get us from point A to point B. All we got to do is trust him. And that trust involves, even though we know where we're going, we got to trust him. We don't know how to get there. We know the way, but we don't know the things that we have to go through. Jesus one time, he says, take no thought for tomorrow, for sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. I'm glad we don't have to figure out salvation's plans. I'm glad all we got to do is yield to God. I'm glad all we got to do is, like some we're doing today, is come down and feel that good Holy Ghost. Yield yourself up to that. Let God renew you. Let God refresh you. You know, I used to try to serve God out of fear. In fact, how I got saved was I heard a message on hellfire and damnation one day. It scared me so bad I came down to the front. I was a 16-year-old boy, and I thought, I don't want to go to that place. But that didn't hold me. You know what's going to hold you? You know what's going to hold you is when you fall in love with Jesus Christ. When you fall in love with him, and the most important thing in your life, from the time that you wake up until the time you lay your head on the pillow at night and go to bed, will be the relationship with your Lord Jesus Christ. There won't be nothing too hard for you to do, because you know that your Lord is going to go right there with you, and that will hold you and that will keep you. Oh, I know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but Jesus said this, he that seeketh to save his own life shall surely lose it. If you're serving God just because you're trying to gain eternal life, you're not going to do it. That's the wrong reason to come to church, just because you want to escape hellfire and damnation. But Jesus said, he that seeketh to lose his own life for my sake shall surely find it. Oh, you know, it's not hard to give up things for the one that you love. I remember when I first met my wife, oh, I fell in love with her, and there wouldn't have been nothing too hard. What's the old saying? You would have run through a wall, or you would have jumped over a wall and ran through a troop through your wife. Well, I feel that way about my Lord Jesus today. There's nothing too hard that I wouldn't do for him, because I love him. I'm learning to love him. So I'm thankful today, and I'm glad to be here. I'm thankful for this wonderful salvation process, and I'm glad that we have a God who cares for us. I love this one scripture. It says this. It says, knoweth not, or don't you know, that the goodness of God worketh repentance? Don't you know God loves us? Don't you know he's manifesting his love to the world today? Don't you know he's covering us with his love? And more than anything else, he wants to see us succeed. I believe that. So that where he is, we could be there too. So I'm glad to be here today, and I'd like to take up prayer requests, and then we would like to go before the Lord in prayer, and then receive the tithes and the offerings. Sister Sandra York, she went to the hospital with chest pains. We need to pray for her. It may be nothing, but we, it, we need to pray for. And Reba, Sister Reba, she went to the hospital with elevated blood pressure, so we need to remember her in prayer. And we need to remember Brother Doug York in prayer for his recovery after his surgery yesterday. And thank God it went as good as it did. I'm glad that God had his hand on him. What other prayer requests do we have? Sister Elsie? Sister Elsie's family, yes. Sister Gail. Pray for little Bert, also known as Alan. Isn't it Alan? Yeah, let's pray for him.
Remember,
I'm sorry, I don't
remember
know your
Brother
name.
Paul.
Oh. It's good to have you here. Let's
praise
pray for,
God.
Let's pray
remember
for
Sister
Clark.
Brother Paul Thompson's sick this morning. May have pneumonia. Pray for him. Sister Joyce.
Okay, Brother Paul Thompson, Sister Joyce Weininger. Brother Daniels. Brother Daniels is working today. All right. Sister Lisa. Sister Tally, did I see your hand?
I was just wondering about it.
Okay, Christer Bailey. Christy Bailey. All right.
Yes.
Sister Rhonda. All right. Sister Fisher. All right, for Brother Stan. Sister Crow. That's right. Her sister passed away. Yes. Let's remember Sister Abraham. Oh, she's back. Okay. All right. Sister Painter.
Abraham. Her sister died last week. Remember? She told me.
Let's remember that, Sister Painter, mother.
But
Brother Mark, do you have your hand up?
I told her to remind me. Maybe she,
yes, I
did. Maybe that's what you're doing.
Yes, I mentioned Sister
Sherry.
All right, Sister Sherry. Yes, Sister Karen. Let's keep remembering her. She makes her living by standing, and just can't... can't do what she does sitting down, and let's pray that God would give her a speedy recovery from the surgery she had. All right, could we have the ushers come forward, and then we will we'll go to prayer.
Hallelujah. Four of them.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy, for your goodness, God. Oh, God, we thank you for your loving kindness and for your mercy, your hand upon our life. God, we're needy people. We need your help, Lord. We know you can be touched by our infirmities, Lord, and by the things that we're going through. We're asking for your help for all these prayer requests that's come up before you today, God. Undertake on our behalf according to your will, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, thank you so much, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Bless this offering, God. Use it for your work and for your kingdom, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Before you sit down, just turn to somebody and shake their hand and say, I'm glad you're here. God loves you and I do too. Hallelujah. God loves you and I do too. All right.
Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to have Sister Clark. It's Ouida, is that right? Ouida Clark. She's from right here in Little Rock, first-time visitor. We're sure glad to have her here. God bless you. Appreciated her words of reaching out to try to help others get in church. I wonder if Brother Paul would, Martin would sing for us this morning. I hate for talent to set in waste.
Yeah. My brother and his wife sing this song, and it is an awesome song. I need room to work here. Some elbow room. I've never sung this, but it's been on my mind, and I was listening to Brother Smith this morning, and some of the things you were talking about there. And remember the statement when you were right there at the end of that chapter, and then you just made mention about the condition that America is in today. And I went a long time living a life, kind of sit back, enjoy the music type of, kind of a real lethargic spirit, seemed like got a hold of me. And I think that's a very dangerous, I know it is, as we teach that. And that's one thing, God, he said two things that I've against. See, what was it where he's talking to Israel? And he said that they've forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they've hewn them out cisterns that can hold no water. That wasn't what I was looking for. I was looking for where he talked to the church. There over is actually in Revelations there where he said, I have somewhat against you that you've left your first love. And I was listening to you, Brother Durham, talking about if we'll fall in love with Christ. And there's some things that I finally came to grips with because my goal is to reach perfection. And I cannot do that if I don't have the proper relationship with Jesus Christ. I hear a lot of people talk about love, and I think love is, well, it's not just important, it's vital. He said, if you say you love God whom you have not seen and love not your brother whom you have seen, you hate your brother whom you have seen, then he said that, isn't that where he said you're a liar and the truth isn't in you? And, but we can't have the proper relationship with our brother if we don't have a proper relationship with our Jesus Christ. And to love him the way we're supposed to be, loving him. Is there anything, this is where I came to grips in my life, is there anything that I would hang on to? Is there anything that's more important? If I love Christ the way I'm supposed to, then is there anything? I think one of the basic, we're taught this, one of the basic things, the first thing that we ought to have when we serve the Lord, is a surrendered, a humble, and a broken spirit that says, God, nothing is too great for you. And if we lose that, if that goes with that, that's some of that first love. If we lose that, then there are going to be things that are going to be bigger than God in our eyes. Be somebody, something that's going to be bigger than God in my eyes. And so I don't want that to happen. I see a lot of things I can look around, I can find wrong all day long. But the fact of that, the matter is I cannot let that get in the way of me and my relationship with Jesus Christ. So this song right here, I've never sung it. I heard my brother and his wife sing it. They did an awesome job. I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can do it as good as they did it. And I'm going to be looking for some keys here for a second. Well, I found myself at a crossroads. I knew the time was right. God's Holy Spirit spoke to my heart that night. Showed me my lost condition, and I bowed in full contrition. Now I'm in a new position, 'cause I've made up my mind. Well, I've made up my mind, no matter what others say. Trouble came a-running to me, so I had to make a choice. Would I run and take a stand against this old world? But after what God did for me, Jesus' blood has set me free. I chose to walk in victory, 'cause I made up my mind. Well, I've made up my mind, no matter what others say, I will follow Christ and walk in his way. Though the battle is hard and the road is steep, that's okay. I've set my heart on becoming like Christ, dying with him and raising new life. All the things of this world I'm leaving behind, 'cause I've made up my mind. found myself at a crossroads. I knew the time was right. God's Holy Spirit spoke to my heart that night. Showed me my lost condition. So I bowed in full contrition. Now I'm in a new position and I've made up my mind. Well, I've made up my mind. No matter what others say, I'll follow Christ and walk in His way. Though the battle is hard and the road is steep, that's okay. Oh, I've set my heart on becoming like Christ, dying with Him and raising new life. All the things of this world I'm leaving behind, 'cause I've made up my mind. The battle is hard and the road is steep. That's okay. I've set my heart on becoming like Christ, dying with Him and raising new life. All the things of this world I'm leaving behind, 'cause I've made up my mind. Trouble came running to me, so I had to make the choice. Would I run or take a stand against this old world? But after what God did for me, Jesus' blood has set me free. I chose to walk in victory, and I made up my mind. Well, I've made up my mind. No matter what others say, I'll follow Christ and walk in His way. Though the battle is hard and the road is steep, that's okay. Oh, I set my heart on becoming like Christ, dying with Him and raising new life. All the things of this world I'm leaving behind, 'cause I've made up my mind. Trouble came a-running to me, so I had to make a choice. Would I run or take a stand against this old world? But after what God did for me, Jesus' blood has set me free. I chose to walk in victory, and I made up my mind. Well, I've made up my mind, no matter what others say, I will follow Christ and walk in His way. Though the battle is hard, oh, and the road is deep, that's okay. I set my heart on becoming like Christ, dying with Him. Made up my mind. Found myself at a crossroads. I knew the time was right. God's Holy Spirit spoke to my heart that night. Showed me my lost condition and about in full contrition. Now I'm in a new position. You see, I've made up my mind. Well, I've made up my mind. I will follow Christ and walk in His way. Though the battle is hard and the road is steep, that's okay. I've set my heart on becoming like Christ, dying with Him and raising new life. Well, all the things of this world I'm leaving
made up my mind. Trouble came running to me, so I had to make a choice. Would I run or take a stand against this old world? But after what God did for me, Jesus' blood has set me free. I chose to walk in victory, and I made up my mind. Oh, I've made up my mind. No matter what others say, I will follow Christ and walk in His way. Though the battle is hard and the road is steep, that's okay. I've set my heart on becoming like Christ, dying with Him and raising new life. All the things of this world leaving behind, because I've made up my mind. Oh, well, I've made up my mind. No matter what others say, I will follow Christ and walk in His way. Though the battle is hard and the road is steep, that's okay. I've set my heart on becoming like Christ, dying with Him and raising new life. Well, all the things of this world I'm leaving behind, because I've made up my mind. Oh, well, I've made up my mind. No matter what others say, I will follow Christ and walk in His way. Though the battle is hard and the road is deep, that's okay. I've set my heart on becoming like Christ, dying with Him and raising new life. Oh, all the things of this world I'm leaving behind, because I've made up my mind. Trouble came running to me, so I had to make a choice. Would I run or take a stand against this evil world? But after what God did for me, Jesus' blood has set me free. I chose to walk in victory, and I made up my mind. Oh, well, I've made up my mind. No matter what others say, I will follow Christ and walk in His way. Though the battle is hard and the road is steep, that's okay. I've set my heart on becoming like Christ, dying with Him and raising new life. All the things of this world I'm leaving behind, because I've made up my mind.
Praise the Lord. Well, I appreciate that, Brother Martin. Brother Martin, this church is indebted to Brother Martin and his dad. They worked on this building cabinets in the kitchen and all over. And And then they also built the cabinets in the Republic Church and worked and labored there. So we're appreciative of their labors, labor of love. God's mindful of all those things. And we're blessed to have them with us. We appreciate having them with us here today. Yes. Oh, great. Praise God. We need to remember to pray for Brother York this week. The doctor said that it takes with as much distension as he had in his colon. When you have surgery like this, the colon generally will go to sleep and quit working for a few days. But he said in his case, it was distended that it could take as probably 4 or 5 days for his colon to start working again. So that's one of their concerns. And then, of course, after surgery, of course, infection's always the very first thing that's the greatest danger. So I promised him we'd pray that his colon would go to working as quickly as the Lord could get it to going again and it'd be normal and safe. So keep that in your prayers this week. Brother York's really, he really took this right. He's really tender right now. So I appreciated his family coming up and being here and gave us an opportunity to fellowship with them again. So I appreciated his oldest son, Jeremy. I could tell he's really matured. I appreciated getting to talk with him. And his wife said, you know, they're not really in church, but she said, you know, she said there must be a reason for everything. She said if they would have stayed in Republic, Brother York didn't have any insurance, and this would have devastated them. So he's down here. God moved him down here, and now they've got really good insurance on his job. So she said, I can see where somebody had their hand in what's going on. So she found something positive in the Lord about it. I was thankful for that. Well, I hope you've made up your mind. Martin said he wants to make perfection. I do too. The sixth chapter of Hebrews is a familiar set of scripture for us, but I think sometimes it's good to rehearse the words of it in our ears. Paul said, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. He's talking to a more mature audience. He's talking to those whose ears have greater understanding than just salvation. Our repentance, he's pointing them towards something that's beyond just coming to the Lord, being born again, repenting and forgiving, being forgiven for past sins. The religious world of Christianity many times doesn't take us past just the superficial relationship of repentance and born again experience. But there's more to it than that. Brother Durham was talking about it. This falling in love with Jesus. I told you I was coming back from New York last week and talking to this young man. And it didn't really matter to me where he came from or what phase or what organized group of Christianity he was involved with. I said, I want to give you one. He found out I was a minister, and I said, I want to give you a piece of advice. You need to really listen and meditate on it. I said, salvation is far more than concept. It's more than a concept. It's more than ideology. I said, you'll have to get past that. But it's a relationship. A lot of people never find that. It's a relationship with God. Jesus said, when the Comforter comes, he said, my Father and I will make our abode in you. He said that my Father is in me and I in him and we in you. That's only if you're able to make room for God. You have to get beyond the concept. You know, when we first hear the word of faith, when the gospel's first preached to you, Cindy, I wished you were closer to me. I had a little spot there that I could catch with the corner of my eye that's bothering me. If she had been anywhere close to me, it would have been gone long ago. Anyway, if you can begin to hear, and the Holy Ghost quickens words, anointed words. By the way, they have to be anointed or they won't accomplish anything. It has to be from God. No man can save. No man can accomplish any